The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
Cloaked in secrecy, they show up without warning. State their business, then vanish as quickly as they appear.
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Not that I believe in it, but I could see that. But these guys are dumb.
Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
I don't have a lot of extracurricular shit.
I don't care. We fucking started.
Oh, you dick. God damn it. Can't ever turn your back on old KK.
Nope. I'm a sly one.
What you drinking there, buddy?
I got the recipe this week. I came up with a recipe.
What's that?
For a nice cocktail called the Summer Fuckface. And it's mostly Trader Joe's brand tequila with some Trader Joe's brand Italian grapefruit soda.
It's pleasant.
What's the opposite of generous?
Stingy?
A stingy amount of grapefruit soda and a generous amount.
Yeah, that's pretty potent.
Yeah.
You've been a tequila guy for the last few months. Is that kind of your...
I've been dipping into it.
Yeah, it's kind of better for you with the gout?
I was pulling that out of my ass thing. Yeah. If I drank clear liquor,
sounds,
I'd be all right.
Sounds good.
It's like doing coke. I mean, it's like... Like 2 in the morning, my heart's just racing. Like I never thought, like, ooh... I thought if you just get drunk, you get drunk. Like, it's not the liquor that makes a different drunk. It's the personality of the mood. But it's not true.
Yeah, I haven't experienced that a lot other than, like, and I don't drink wine often, but when I do have a few glasses, it's like, okay, I'm buzzed, but it's something's different.
Wine's like a sleepier, kind of like a,
yeah.
Beer just gets me full. Whiskey will rile me up, but tequila's real, real feisty libation.
Yeah.
Well, so
it's not bad.
Couple of summer fuck faces for the boys. For this episode, August 8th.
Oh, man. Look out.
Of the Boogie Monster with Kyle and Dave.
Yeah.
I think that's what I wanted to talk about is the how much plastic they said is in the world now.
What do you mean?
Like there's like 9 billion tons of plastic.
Really?
That's not even supernatural. It just bummed me out.
Hmm.
Humans have produced 9 billion tons of plastic throughout history, which the history of plastic, I think, is the 50s. So that's it. A joke that I made, but it's like, it's nice that people give out tote bags at places. Uh-huh. Like, don't use...
Yeah.
Use reusable tote bags. Do you know how many fucking reusable tote bags I have?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's going to be a garbage island slightly smaller than the one made out of plastic bags.
Yeah.
Is reusable tote bag island.
I always get the plastic bags at the store, but that's because I shit in them.
Oh, God, Dave. You couldn't just warm them up. You couldn't just ease people in.
I mean, I don't, it's for the emergency
you
kit.
You can't backtrack now.
Yeah.
The emergency kit.
Could ever have too many plastic bags when you live in a van.
You're wearing out your welcome at Ralph's. What's going on?
Did you notice, like, okay, a couple years ago, they banned plastic bags at all the LA grocery stores. And then you literally couldn't get
them. That's right, yeah.
They only had paper. But I think I've noticed it in the last few months, they brought them back, but they charge you. Like, if you get a plastic bag, it's like 10 cents.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess then that, yeah.
I always forget. I have the tote bags. I don't shit in those. But I always forget to bring those. Like, I just can never.
I love the irony of people like we have here, little tiny trash bags or garbage cans. I love the irony of bringing your recyclable tote bag in to buy trash bags that fit a garbage can the size of a shopping bag.
That's true.
I would always save the shopping bags because I would use them for my little trash cans.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm putting them back. At least I'm using them twice. But now, well, shit on me then for that.
Maybe they could do like they used to do with diapers. You could have cloth trash bags that you just wash. Just
that's
spaghetti stains.
That's fucking dead in the womb, that idea. I was washing my trash bags out.
I always thought that was gross, like reusable diapers. Like, yeah, it's still remnants of poo.
I had a friend when I was little that they had a stack of washcloths next to the toilet.
Hmm?
And I think they wiped their butt with washcloths.
No way.
And then I remember working in warehouses because people from, like, people that just came to America from third world countries where the plumbing was so bad you couldn't flush anything. Mm-hmm. They would just, like, throw the toilet paper in the garbage after they used it.
I've noticed that.
And yeah, it's that. Because, like, the plumbing from where they're from, like, they don't, you're not supposed to flush anything down the toilet. And I remember my supervisor going, like, well, gotta have a meeting about all the shit that's in the garbage cans. God, I don't even know how to start this meeting.
I always thought that was what you were supposed to do, is just put it in the toilet. But I remember in high school, I got a job at a grocery store, and this guy was training me on the first day. And he's like, all right, well, now we got to go clean the bathrooms. And he was teaching me how to clean the bathroom. I was like, dude, I know how to clean the bathroom.
Yeah.
But then he goes, he got mad that people were putting their used toilet paper in the toilet. He's like, ah, what are these animals just flushing their shit paper? Throw it in the trash can. And I was like, what? Why would you do that?
That's the wrong way.
I mean, I don't know. Like, are the plumbing systems designed to hold toilet paper? I mean, I always assumed that it was.
I mean, if not, I've been doing it wrong for 40 years.
But, like, yeah, who wants used TP?
No, I don't understand what this guy's talking about.
Yeah, he said, oh, it messes up the... It clogs the toilet.
Where was this?
It was at a grocery store back in Georgia, like 20 years ago. Yeah. But he would get mad. He was like, these people clogging up the toilet with the shit paper.
Well, that guy was wrong. He was wrong to run a grocery store.
Well, we really opened with a bang on this one. So how you doing, man?
I'm all right.
Yeah?
I'm just running around getting ready. August 8th. We need to stop acting like we're in the future.
As we're speaking, recording this, tomorrow you leave. You excited?
Tomorrow I'm going to leave for Europe for 2 weeks. And as of yet, ticket sales, pretty bad.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. Ah. So I'm just going to go over there and talk to a couple people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to have a few meetings. I'm just going to have a few meetings. Just a small seminar.
As a seasoned comic as yourself, and an accomplished comic, and a well-traveled comic.
All right, keep it coming.
Is this? Do you look at this as? Are you excited, or is it just like, gotta back to work?
No, I'm excited. I would like it. You know, it's just you're just expanding your range. The same way you go on tour here. You're like, well, I haven't played this area yet.
Yeah,
the same thing. You know,
but it's pretty rad that you get to go to cool places like that. Like,
yeah, it would be nice if I went over there and I'm like, oh man, there's people here, and then I'm like,
they're gonna come.
Sell a few tickets, but shit, man, why not?
Nah, they'll come. What was that joke on your first album about going to London?
Bleak and misanthropic.
Now, I don't know what that means.
I was so fucking depressed. Like, well, I was just that was like end my comedy career where I was like, no, like. Really bombing anyway, and then I went over there and did not know how to adjust or walk out with energy, and like I get real scared. I still get scared. Like I'll still like ruin a show from the beginning by having a bad attitude before I go on.
Huh?
Yeah. You ever get like you see a show and you're like, I don't think I'm going to do well, and then you manifest that.
Yeah, I've done that. I try not to, but yeah, you try not to let it affect you. I've also had the reverse where like. This is going to suck, and then it turns out to be great.
Well, yeah.
And then vice versa. Oh, I'm going to kill him, and then he just bombed. But yeah, I try not to carry that negative energy at the beginning. I at least wait a few minutes.
What's the worst you ever bombed?
I mean, so many. The worst I ever bombed was like, you know, when you start out and you're doing like sports bars.
Yeah.
I did a 4th of July back in Georgia years ago. I did a sports bar where on the stage, like behind the stage, was a giant screen TV with a baseball game, and the owner refused to turn it off. And I think the worst bombing is when you can't even hold their attention. Not that they're watching and just not laughing, but
you think that's worse?
To me, it's worse.
At least you can blame it on something else when they're just attention's being seized by something else.
I guess, but just having to fight for the attention, just like, you know, having to please at least look in my general direction. So, I mean, I don't know. Not one particular show other than that sticks out, but there's been several where it's just like, do you guys even know I'm here?
I remember that. Like, that's where I'm not from a theater background. Like, the show must go on. Like, I never believe that. I'm like, no need for the show
when
to
there's
happen.
Three people here.
That, or you walk into a sports bar not realizing that it's like a playoff game.
Yeah.
Even if it's not your city, maybe there's a lot of people gathered there
yeah.
who are paying money, like putting money in the bar. And so we're like, sorry, guys. Show's on, and
yeah.
just seeing people. You not only did you shut their TV off, but now you're like, but what about being entertained? And I'm just like, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah, ambush comedy.
Yeah.
Have you noticed with your travels overseas? Like, what are the differences between like American audiences and European audiences? I mean, do you go in with a different game plan?
Well, you immediately realize how American your comedy is.
Hmm.
Like even stuff that's nonchalant. Which is, that's good. Like, I don't know, it's weird. It's good to like, oh, it should be more universal if you want to get a bigger audience. But then sometimes when you're trying to appeal to everybody, nothing's
yeah.
that awesome. And there's people that obviously have broken through. Stanhope's big. Jim Jeffries is big here.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Glenn Wool.
Jimmy Carr. Glenn
yeah.
Wool.
Glenn Wool, he's Canadian, but he travels all
yeah,
over.
Yeah. Jimmy Carr is real funny.
Yeah.
I like him.
Mm-hmm.
If you like Jeselnik, check out Jimmy Carr. Yeah, I don't know. You instantly realize you can't just do that. Boy, I noticed, like, yeah, we've heard it. Like, they've seen more American entertainment than you've seen English or Irish entertainment.
Mm.
Like, you know, to go over there and make an observation, like, you know, it's different about the States. They know. Everybody knows about America. And it just amplifies your ignorance of their country. Your meaning me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I try to avoid these. Like, hey, you guys, it's crazy that you drive on the side of the street that's different than a...
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we've been hearing these observations from every dipshit that's come over the pond.
Well, it's just like here when you travel to different cities, you mm-hmm. know, to make the obvious, you know, especially if you're at a club and there's something unique about the
yeah.
city you're in. It's like, yeah, every week the headliner makes that joke.
My favorite one is in St. Louis when I'm downtown. I just go, I don't think they're ever going to finish that McDonald's.
That's good.
I like that one.
It's good.
See, that's for me. I'm like, mm-hmm. come on. This is a good joke. Is somebody else making fun of it like that? If they're not, I got it.
Man, the skate kids in St. Louis must be rad as hell.
Oh, yeah, man. Guys, you fucking rail the whole thing?
Oh, man. Well, that's cool, buddy. Well, good travels to you.
Thanks, man.
And when? How long are you gone?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Well, that's a good amount of time.
I'll be
to
back
travel.
The week before this comes out, or a week.
Week two, after.
A week and a half.
Not before.
Yeah, we got to.
After.
We do episodes on time travel, but still can't sort out what the date is when the show comes out versus when we record it.
Oh man.
What else? Anything else going on in the news for you?
In the news?
Any excitement out in the world? What's happening in the streets? No coyote fights?
No, I did see a coyote two nights ago when we were hanging out with the it's already come out, right? Yeah, we're doing the
Wade and Willie's yeah. probably or no, I'm thinking of
Real Life Sci-Fi. Did
probably science is a different.
Yeah, went over to Willie's place, mm-hmm. did that podcast. That was a lot of fun. And
like
then
when
I was leaving, I was parked right next to this not the Silver Lake Reservoir. But there's some little reservoir right there.
It's a municipality area. Yeah, like you can't go in there and enjoy it. So it looks like a park. And
yeah.
It's all kept up. That's its own thing. Like, what's
exactly.
Why do you have such a nice manicured green grass little pond and nobody can enter it?
Yeah. I walk around that sometimes during the day, get my steps in, and I notice how well manicured it is. But anyway, there's this fence surrounding it, this not wrought iron, but some sort of green metal fence. And the... It looks like each post is probably 6 or 9 inches apart. Just kind of a, you know, standard fence. And I saw a coyote when I was getting back into the van after leaving the podcast. It's like 9 o'clock at night. Walked right in front of the van and then slithered into the fence. And I mean like maybe no more than 9 inches, maybe 6 inches. But he slithered his whole body right through the little and he got up in that.
There's a funny meme out there of a Pomeranian going through a fence like that. It's all real fluffy.
I did see that.
And they make it like the Terminator. I'll just watch Pomeranian videos.
Oh, man, speaking of animal videos.
Yeah, what you got? Something
did you fun? See?
Something cute?
No, this ain't cute.
I don't know if I want it.
It just surfaced yesterday.
Something being lanced?
No. Did you see? I can pull it up. The boa constrictor swallowing the deer.
You know what? Just saw the headline and was like, I don't need to know more of it.
It's pretty awesome. Like, it's gruesome, but it's awesome.
Cool. I get it.
No, not into it.
No, I get it.
Okay.
Like, I know, like...
Nature, dude.
I would watch it only if the boa constrictor was wearing a little napkin around its neck.
And a bib.
Yeah. If that was the case, if it was like a Far Side cartoon, I'd be like, all right, I'll check it out. Like, whenever they put little hats on snakes, I think that's fun. Mm. But I don't need to see it eat a whole deer.
Boy.
Did it get it all in there?
Got it all in there. Like, and did it fast. Like, the deer...
It can't feel good after that.
No.
Like, it has to feel like a person after Thanksgiving, like, I could have just taken some of this home.
It's on my, if you guys want to see it, it's on my Twitter. Just go to Dave Stone Comedy on Twitter, and I posted, July 19th. So yeah. Backtrack.
I think that's where I saw it. I'm like, of course Dave posted this, and I don't need to look at this.
Then I saw another video of an antelope. Get this. All right. I think this is a fairly new one.
Did it eat a giant snake?
It was like a...
Never see like something mean a snake.
Like
know?
A turducken.
Yeah.
No, this poor antelope. This poor antelope was getting eaten by a wild dog. What's a wild dog? Not a dingo, but it kind of looked like a hyena. It may have just been an African wild dog. But anyway, looks like this poor antelope is dead. This wild dog's eating his stomach.
Oh, Jesus.
And then the antelope gets up and fights him off. Literally with his guts falling out. Like his whole stomach is outside his body and he's still fighting. And then eventually.
What are you doing at night?
Then eventually more wild dogs came and killed him. But hey, he fought. He was a fighter.
What are you doing in the evenings?
I like nature videos, man. Don't get me started about
that. Pomeranians are nature.
I love those too. I love cute little puppy and kitten videos, but sometimes. You just want to see an antelope defend itself with its guts hanging out.
I don't. I don't think I ever do.
Puts everything in perspective.
What perspective?
Nature's scary, man. Got to be on your toes. I'm out there in the streets. I'm the antelope.
Are you?
I'm trying to fend off.
Are you?
Yeah.
Who are the dogs, then?
The dogs are people throwing beer bottles at my van. And
real dogs.
Yeah, and real dogs.
And occasionally actual dog-like creatures. Somebody's going to take a video of you eating the side of a coyote. It's going to be black and white. It's going to be nighttime, and it's going to be that thing where your eyes are like back illuminated.
Oh, man. Had a good burger the other day.
Where'd you go?
I talked about this a few weeks ago. Well, I mentioned, but I didn't get into the details, so I went back. Shake Shack.
I got to get over there, man.
Dude. Real good.
Yeah?
Real good.
Went to Doghouse for National Dog Hot Dog yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you get so you a dog?
I know I teased you earlier in the day.
That's
and then
okay.
I had shit to do. And then Rachel and I went. They, instead of buns, they use little King's Hawaiian breads.
Ooh.
Which I welcome entering into the realm of all food.
Hmm. Yeah, I like a King's Hawaiian. So,
They took two of them.
Okay.
Then we know how they're all come together. And
yeah.
They come in a four pack.
Yeah.
Cut it so you got two of them still stuck together.
Gotcha.
And then have it through the center.
Mm-hmm.
And so it opens up the length of a hot dog bun.
What kind of hot dog?
I got beef hot dog. I had one bacon wrapped with like some white cheese and sauteed peppers and onions and stuff. They do a real good job over there.
Is that in Hollywood down here near Big Wang's?
No. This is
Atwater?
This is Doghouse, HAUS. There's one in There's one in Burbank,
uh-huh.
And there's another one. There's a few of them, but the one I went to was Burbank.
Okay.
But yeah, a lot of people celebrating National Hot Dog Day yesterday. It was
Is there anywhere around here that you can just get a good, like, Vienna, Chicago-style hot dog?
You can go to Vicious Dogs in North Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
You can stop over. Well, as far as just a Chicago dog, you can go to Taste Chicago, which is also, I think, Toluca Lake.
Okay.
So like maybe $2 more than what a Chicago dog should be, but they do all the fixings.
I love a Chicago, and it's got the poppy seed bun.
Poppy seed bun with the neon green relish.
And the pickle.
Yeah, man.
Oh.
Celery salt, tomato wedges.
I love a Chicago dog.
I love every show, they're like, and order it. Tell them you want to drag through the garden. Like nobody's ever said that.
That's
literally
what
no one said that about. You say, I want one with everything.
That's what they say at the Varsity in Atlanta. Which is the world's oldest or largest fast food restaurant. It's just
Yeah, it's, I know the varsity.
Yeah, it's not great, but it's not bad. It's just kind of an experience. But naked dog walking through the garden. That's what they say.
Yeah.
What do you have? What do you have?
So. That's why I just say I want a hot dog with everything.
I don't like that. I don't like sometimes having to participate in the dumb little food lingo.
Oh, really?
Me and a buddy were somewhere, and the menu said voodoo fingers. And I said, what's a voodoo finger? And she goes, it's a chicken finger. I was like, well, I'll have a chicken finger. I'm not going to participate in your dumb.
You remember when we went to Cafe Gratitude?
Yes.
If anybody needs to know, it's a vegan restaurant, pretty much run by a cult. So it ties in. We should go back there and examine it from the cult angle.
Okay.
Admittedly, food's pretty good.
Uh-huh.
I just had a bunch of Doomies today, which is vegan junk food.
Yeah, I've been to Doomies.
I was still eating garbage from my body, but it tastes so good.
I can't remember what I ordered at Cafe Gratitude.
I don't know what we get, but you order it and it's an emotion or a feeling and you have to say, I am in front of
That's them. Right. Yeah.
It's like,
no thanks.
Like, oh, this is, I'm at the serendipitous. You have to say, I am serendipitous.
Just bring me the
I
food.
I am. Yeah. And I go because it's almost like Universal Studios. It's like the most LA thing you can do.
Yeah.
It's like an amusement park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right there in Larchmont.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why I'll go, because it's so, like, I know it's over the top. At no point I'm like, no, this is normal.
Yeah.
The food's pretty good, but it's a cult. It's like a cult.
That's a couple doors down from that deli I sent you the picture of a couple weeks ago about the $125. Yeah, $125 a pound ham. It was some sort of
ham. I think about, like, what, like, was shaved ham from a deli, what, like, $8 a pound?
Yeah, $8 to $10, depending. Yeah. This was $125. What if you just went in and ordered a sandwich with that?
Just doing a bump. I just want to do a bump.
A bump of ham.
Yeah.
I got $125.
I think we got to taste that.
I do, too. I do want to go and just get, like, a gram.
I want with, like, one shaving. One translucent slice.
Yeah, $7.
Doesn't even register on the scale.
Oh, man. But anyway, going back to Shake Shack, maybe the best burger I've had in Los Angeles.
Ooh, buddy.
Like, I used to think Umami Burger held that title.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel about Umami Burger? A lot of people don't like it here. They think it's overpriced and too small.
I think those are things are both true, but mm-hmm. the flavor that – if you take away the value and everything, flavor, ooh, flavor's good.
Yeah, damn good burger.
They got that Impossible Burger, whatever that fake meat thing is now.
Oh, really?
Very convincing.
Huh.
I will say very convincing.
I always get the Hatch Burger
yeah.
with the white American cheese and the mm-hmm. Green Hatch chilies.
Yeah, that's good. The Stout Burger does the same thing. Might mm-hmm. be a buck or two cheaper. I'm okay. not sure. That's the one that's by Big Wings.
Yes. But Shake Shack, for $8, you know, not cheap, but it's worth it. You get the double, I think they call it the double shack or something like that. Double, just your classic double cheeseburger with all the fixings. And and even the fixings are like perfect tomatoes, perfect pickles. Like, it's nice. It's a good
Y'all's
burger.
Y'all's fixings are great.
It's good.
I've been saying fixings. I've appropriated Southern culture a lot, mm-hmm. I think. Having been down to Atlanta a bunch and hanging out with you guys, I love the word fixins.
Yeah, now you got to incorporate it like as a verb, like I'm fixin' to.
I'll do that sometimes.
Yeah, hey, we're fixin' to go get a burger.
Yeah, yeah.
I've said that to people and they have no idea what I mean.
I'm fixin' to. I'm getting ready to go.
Yeah, fixin' to.
I like it.
No big deal. What else, buddy?
Man,
anything?
Giants, they found another giant squid. I got so excited about the headline. They found another, like, there was like no giant squids in Ireland. And now they've caught the second one of the year. Off of the coast of Dingle, Ireland, which that's, I mean, all right, we all understand
that. That's funny.
That could be interpreted as humorous. But then I look at this picture of the giant squid. It's. Look at this. Look at that squid.
That's not giant.
Didn't you think? I always thought squids were just that size. And a giant squid would eat a boat.
Yeah, I've seen much bigger squids than that. Trust me. In all my travels.
The first one measured, yeah, like 20 feet long. Like they say, it's like under 19 feet. But that's all legs. It doesn't do anything for me. These giant squids. I thought it was more mythical.
Squids are interesting, though.
Maybe this is what happens when somebody catches a Bigfoot. What if somebody catches a Bigfoot, but it's just not big? Like, it's just like...
It's 5 foot one?
Yeah. It's like five... It's like the size and shape of Richard Dreyfuss. But still, like, it's still a wooded ape-man creature, but there's really nothing... It's, like, kind of shitty. Like, it has bad coordination. And there's nothing mysterious about it. Like, we catch a Bigfoot, but we catch the dumbest, shittiest one.
Huh?
Yeah.
I ain't been hiding from nobody.
This one isn't intelligent.
Oh, that's funny, man. That's a funny, Kyle.
I'm just saying. Got a lot of theories about it.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to talk about today, though?
You know what we haven't really gotten into?
What's that?
That is kind of a part of, like, our brand. Hmm. Ugh, I hate that word, but, you know, like, what people associate this podcast with a handful of topics, you know, Bigfoot,
yep,
ghost.
You betcha.
But one that we haven't really dug too deep in, aliens.
I think it was an early... We're just a broad idea. Yeah. Early on, we're just going like, aliens, yeah, I like them. I think they're around.
I mean, we've addressed them, but we haven't really gotten our hands dirty.
Not any specific cases.
Yeah. I figured, why not dig a little deeper into some aliens today?
I like that.
Mm-hmm. And alien is kind of a generic broad term in and of itself. But did you know that there's different types of aliens, different races and species of aliens?
This is what we were addressing... With Willie and Wade the other week.
Yeah.
Willie, very informed individual.
Yeah. Yeah, that dude reads.
Came in and I'm like, oh man, you're not pulling this out of your ass at all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was bringing it up. And, yeah, I didn't realize there was, like, that many different...
There's quite a few that, like... I mean, well, it's one of those topics where... And I think he even kind of addressed this because it's... There's... So little hard and fast evidence on it that, you know, oh, are there three different species? Or no, there's 92 different. Like, who's to say what's accurate? But I want to go over a couple. I've narrowed it down to three as far as just, you know, and there are more, or presumably there are more. But most of the encounters that the general public has experienced fall under about three different categories. Not all, but most. So just a quick overview. We've got the Nordics, the Reptilians, and the Greys. And we'll focus a little bit on the Greys today, but just a real quick overview of the Nordics. They're described as humanoid extraterrestrials, also called the Blondes. And these are the ones that have a very human-like appearance and stand anywhere from about 5.5 to 8 feet tall. They look kind of like Norwegian people, like just Viking, like blonde, tall.
There's that show, People of Earth, that's on TV. It's Wyatt Cenac's on it.
Yes, yes.
And like the alien, it's all three of them that hang out, the alien race. Like the
there's all three of them?
Spaceship.
Yeah, really?
Like a Nordic, and then like a little
I haven't seen
alien
it.
Head guy. And
that's funny.
I've only seen a couple episodes, but I was like, ah, man, wish I would have made that show.
And I'm reading from xemplore.com. They describe a Nordic alien description. In every relevant abductee account, the Nordics always have blonde hair with light eyes. The most typical shade of eye color described is blue. However, reports have also described violet, pink, red, purple, and green. Known to be in great physical shape and extremely attractive to humans, Nordics can easily pass for humans when seen from a distance. They communicate with telepathy and telekinesis. So these are the ones that most... closely resemble humans, and therefore, this is kind of another topic. But the concept of like aliens, like walking the earth and disguising themselves as humans, that's always fascinating.
Just looking like some hot Europeans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are the Nordics. We've also got, and this is a term that's been tossed around quite a bit, but reptilians.
Yeah.
And a lot of people,
lizard people
associate that with lizard people. And then there's this whole conspiracy about how connected with like the Illuminati and the NWO that some of the power brokers of the world are actually some sort of human reptilian hybrid.
Yeah, I don't know why that.
Reptilians, they look kind of like reptiles, apparently, and they're tall. Mm-hmm. They're tall and
like capabilities.
Yeah.
Shapeshift.
They shapeshift anywhere from 6 to 9 feet tall, very muscular and scaly skin. Believers in this theory claim that reptilians live in the third, fourth, and fifth universal dimensions. They feed on negative energy and attempt to cause conflict in our world. So,
does any other ones feed on positive energy?
I'm not sure.
Probably Nordics. Probably ones that look like surfers.
Yeah.
Posi vibes.
Probably so.
I like them posi vibe aliens.
So, numerous theories about another race of aliens. The reptilians, one race that comes from the, they say they come from the constellation of Draco. Or Draco.
That would sound sinister.
Like draconian. I wonder if that's where the phrase draconian comes from.
I'll look it up.
So, yeah, man, they're creepy. These are the real creepy ones, man.
Excessively harsh and severe is the definition of draconian. Derives from Draco, an Athenian law scribe under whom small offenses had heavy punishments. Draconian laws. Yeah, it seems like they reverse engineered the idea of this alien from this.
Apparently, about 20% of alien abductee cases are described as reptilian encounters. Man, that's creepy. Just imagine just a big ass, like an 8-foot lizard. That's real creepy.
Well, I mean, if we're reporting giant squids and it's these piddly ass things, maybe I'm still thinking that, oh, he's 8 foot tall. Like, nah, he's 6 feet tall. Well, and what are the grays are the classic, your classic.
Yes.
And bulb headed.
Finally, the grays, the most well known of alien types. The gray alien, typically described as being very thin with an oversized head. Mm-hmm. And they stand about 3.5 feet to 6 feet tall, weigh anywhere from about 50 to 90 pounds. And, yeah, that's more of the – I think they say about 40 to 50% of all alien encounters are described – fall under the gray categorization.
I love the idea that aliens are all still, like, walk on 2 feet, have arms, have eyes. Like, the concept of an alien – like, why does it always fall into something that's still – in the infinite concept of what things can be.
Yeah, still somewhat humanoid.
Still a part, like, still even walks on 2 feet.
Two legs, two arms, one head.
Yeah.
Yeah, a mouth.
It's not some sort of traveling consciousness that can enter individuals. Mm-hmm. It's not, I mean, they say they have psychic abilities. Mm-hmm. When I was reading about the Barney and Benny Hill abduction, like, it was their eyes became their eyes. Like, it was like a psychic transference. Mm-hmm. But why, yeah, why is it, could be, why isn't it, it's never microscopic, the idea of it.
Yeah.
It's never the idea of just a fog that goes over people.
Yeah.
It could be any mess of things. And it's always like, it probably walks around. Probably still got a steering wheel in its ship.
But yeah, these grays, man, they're creepy little dudes. And
so if you could fly a UFO from somewhere else in the universe and control it, and you can control other people with your mind, but you still need a ladder to get off your fucking thing. Like, come on.
Who says they need a ladder?
I don't know. I'm just, they're always like, and then I saw them, and a little chute opened up in the bottom, and I walked out. Like, of all the things a spaceship can do, you still need a, like, a conventional door.
Oh, that's funny. It is believed that the grays come from Zeta Reticuli, and which is a, what is Zeta Reticuli? It's a binary star system. Yeah, binary star system, 39 light years from Earth. And now the gray is kind of a general term. It is believed that there are two different races of aliens that live in Zeta Reticuli or come from Zeta Reticuli. The first one being called just the Zetas or the Zeta Reticulans, and then the others are the grays. So kind of under the same general umbrella, the Zetas and the Grays, but apparently some researchers or experts think that they're two different species. The Zetas themselves look a little more human-like. They still have the big-ass head,
yeah.
But some of their other facial features are somewhat human-like in the sense that they have kind of a human-like nose, kind of a human-like mouth, And it is believed that the Zetas are more of the peaceful and docile species as compared to the Greys themselves, yeah. Seem a little more sinister. And abductee accounts report that both have abducted people and taken them upon their ships or craft or whatever you want to call it for the purpose of some sort of medical or scientific research. Mm-hmm. Both the Zetas and the Greys have been known to probe and prod, and they think that the primary purpose is to obtain some sort of DNA sample. And then it is believed that maybe they're trying to create some sort of hybrid, some sort of alien-human hybrid, because in fear that their own species might be extinct soon, might be endangered. So they're trying
to. What would a hybrid do to save it?
I don't know.
Maybe like you could like breathe a different atmosphere. Or
maybe.
Maybe you could eat some of this 9 billion tons of plastic. Yeah, we just want to be able to eat plastic.
That'd be interesting if that's what they
say. Save the human race.
Yeah.
Well, you told me, you're like, look up Barney and Betty Hill.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about them. What happened?
Well, they claim they were abducted September 19th to the 20th over the course of that evening, 1961. They were in New Hampshire, and they were coming home from they were traveling Montreal, Canada, and at first they saw some object in the sky, and mm-hmm. they were looking at it, they thought it was a plane leaving from I forget which airport, heading up into Canada, and they realized it wasn't, so they started they started following this object. They said it was like a rotating object, the lights on it, and they pulled off on a different country road off of the main highway to start following this object. And then they got eventually, what was it, like the car stalled out. Oh, I fucked up all the info on it, but they think they got abducted. Like the car fell, and they had a complete loss of time. They lost 7 hours and were 35 miles out of their way on their route home, and they got home and they were just, you know, they weren't sure what happened.
Uh-huh.
They had, their car had markings on it that would be set off if you put a compass near it. Barney took a was at one point, I read, he was compelled to examine his genitals but didn't find anything.
that's
my excuse.
No. Compelled to examine my genitals.
No, babe, I thought it was aliens. I had to rub one out in case they put something in their tracking device, you know. Betty, her dress was torn in a couple places, and she remembers she hung it up. It had like a pink powder around certain spots on it. When she put it out, she hung it outside. The pink powder blew away, and then she threw it out, but then she kept it again. She's got it out. She's like, oh, no, I think I should keep this. They both were freaked out about it, but didn't want to report anything right away. Now, an interesting note about this is that the Hills were an interracial couple. This is 1961. They're an interracial couple. He's black. She's a white lady. And that was, not common for that time. Mm-hmm. Even in, the northern states, still wasn't a common thing.
Do you think the aliens had a problem with it?
Well, that was in a comment section of one of the articles I was reading. Somebody's like, well, maybe they were just like, we got to get as many diverse samples as we can.
Okay.
Oh, look. There's a black one and a white one, and it's a guy and it's a lady, and there's nobody else around. Like
Two birds with one stone.
It was like a thing. Like, yeah, like, okay, well, where are you going to go to collect samples? Well, you're going to go for a most populated area. How are you going to determine that? Probably light output, if you're just looking at the Earth.
Yeah.
The eastern coast of the United States is a lot of light, but you don't want to land right in the city. But, hey, New Hampshire's kind of outside of, further away from New York and not dealing with a lot of other witnesses or what have you.
That's interesting.
And then they could tell it's, a diverse couple, and it's different sexes, different races. Like, all right, let's get our samples out of these. Or they were just intrigued by it. If they've been observing, like, oh, the different races are mingling. Maybe that was of interest to them.
Hmm.
So they went under hypnosis, and through hypnosis, obviously hypnosis gets discredited a lot.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on hypnosis?
I really don't know. I feel that, yeah, it can be easily abused, and I think you could probably sway someone into, you know, convince them to turn into a situation well mm-hmm. under hypnosis if you wanted them to. Mm-hmm. But I also think if you're under hypnosis, it doesn't seem reliable to me.
Yeah.
Like, if it got you to quit smoking, right on. But I don't know about a testimony. I don't know about a crime testimony or something.
Yeah.
Where you're already in a sort of dreamlike state where dreams appear real anyway. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to take that as fact about the real world. That was another thing that somebody put on this. Like, no, they think it was stress brought on by being an interracial couple in the 60s. You know, and they were active. He was with the NAACP. They remember the NAACP. Barney was on the local board of the Civil Rights Commission. So, you know, they were working towards equality and everything. So a lot of people think maybe it was stress, hallucinations brought on by stress. But mm-hmm. two people having hallucinations, that's kind of weird. Some people think it's sleep paralysis, which for two people to have the same thing and miss time and everything. I mean, this is all... I also don't know why would you make it up, though. You already got enough on your plate.
Yeah.
Being an interracial couple in the 60s.
True.
And you want to come out and be like, all right, now we're fighting for equality here, but also there's aliens, and I think they took a sperm sample. Barney thinks they took a... He doesn't remember having an orgasm. They took a sperm sample. What a ripoff.
Yeah. How else would you get it? Just some...
They're aliens. I don't know, man. They'll figure it out.
Man, if you're going to take my sperm, at least, you know, give me a tug and poke.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe, you know, I'm not going to go into what kind of stimulus he was experiencing in a spaceship there. But, yeah, so that's one thing that hinges on is, like, why would you want to make it tougher? But they're apparently very, they were... Right away, they didn't want to say a lot of stuff, but then they made a report to September 21st, Betty telephoned Pease Air Force Base, and they reported it.
Hmm.
She withheld some ideas because they're like, oh, it's kind of sketchy. There goes a motorcycle. On September 22nd, Major Paul Henderson telephoned the Hills for more detailed interview. He's the one who reported it to Project Blue Book, which was a big alien compilation file back when. So she started having crazy dreams about it. Barney didn't have any dreams. I don't know, man. It's kind of all over the place.
Hmm.
I don't know what to believe.
Yeah.
I don't know. She did draw like a random map.
That's true.
The star map.
Yeah.
And that's been, like, Carl Sagan was like, no, it's all too random. It's easy to kind of line things up when it's a bunch of dots in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were some other prominent people. Who was it that was like, well, kind of got to go with this one. Oh, I fucking lost my references. I'm not the one who does the research.
That's okay. That's okay, buddy.
I was reading about it earlier today.
No, that's interesting, though. Like, yeah, I read a little bit about them, and they seem like credible people, you know? And who's to say? Who's to say? I stumbled across this. You got why don't you pull this up on your old YouTube?
All right.
Type in Ivan, Ivan,
mm-hmm.
0135. And at that point, it should Zeta Reticulan alien footage.
Oh, okay. I'm watching.
Thanks. Have you ever seen this?
All right. Let's
see. All right. In 2011. This is some person who went by the YouTube handle Ivan 0135. They uploaded to YouTube this video, or actually it's about four different videos, and he claimed that it's leaked footage collected between 1942 and 1969, possibly affiliated with the Russian KGB, since there's a KGB logo at the beginning of the one of the films, and. It's apparently leaked footage of actual Zeta reticulate alien footage from, like I said, from that time period. And a lot of speculation on whether this is legit or not. And a lot of, at first, you know, at first glance, skeptics are going to say, oh, it's bullshit, it's CGI. But a lot of CGI experts have weighed in and said, well, if that's CGI, it's damn good CGI.
But it's all old-timey footage.
It's old-timey footage, but have you got to the part where the actual aliens? There's just straight-up footage. If this is legit, there's straight-up, not a photo, but video of a Zeta, of a big-headed Zeta just standing there in his little gray jumpsuit.
I mean, I'm looking.
It's pretty intriguing.
All right, all right, here he is.
Nobody knows who Ivan0135 is. On his YouTube channel, these are the only videos he's ever uploaded.
The blinks are pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a cute little dude. Just a sweet little harmless alien. But, I mean, yes, skeptics are going to say that that's bogus, but it looks pretty good.
I mean, isn't it easy to fake old-timey footage, though?
But what do you mean?
I mean, it looks good. Don't get me wrong. It looks good.
I mean, yes, the aesthetics to it are old-timey, but how do you fake, like, again, this isn't a photo. This alien is moving. His mouth is moving. His hands are moving. Like,
yeah, like the two-minute mark.
It's pretty neat.
But why are more people freaking out about this?
I don't know. Like I said, this is pretty old. It was uploaded May of 2011. So, you know, the video itself is over 6 years old. But
and nobody's gone nuts about this?
I mean, there's a lot of speculation. But, no, it hasn't. Apparently, Ivan0135 has yet to come forward. No one knows who that is. No one knows, you know, the true origin of these videos. But, man.
It's a good, I mean, it does, it looks good.
And these, now, what we're looking at here, that alien is supposed to fall under the category of a Zeta, as opposed to a Gray. Similar, but technically different.
Yeah, all right. Now I gotta look up how people think it's fake, just so I can see if I agree with them.
But yeah, and then towards the end of the video, we see three or four different ones walking around. And kind of, you know, not kind of, but similar to how I feel about the Patterson-Gimlin film. I totally am all in on the Patterson-Gimlin film, but just if you are a skeptic, but just hypothetically, what if this is legit? Then how amazing is this piece of video that we have?
Well, how has nobody gone nuts about it?
I mean, who says they're not? There's been a lot of buzz about this over the years.
I think it's from Russia.
Mm-hmm. Because there's a KGB logo at the very beginning. So yeah, that's pretty damn fascinating.
Ugh. Okay, all right.
Pretty weird. Pretty weird stuff. Yeah, Ivan0135. I think if you just type that into your YouTube, speaking to the listeners here, that should be enough to pull it up. But if not, Ivan0135 Zeta or Zeta Reticulan. But yeah, pretty interesting footage. I don't know why they think – I don't know how they narrow down. I mean, that's 27-year span there, window of 42 to 69. But
Yeah, Betty Hill. I'm going back to Betty Hill. She had her star map. She, like, from memory, was it like she created what she, to paraphrase, like, she drew a star map from memory from what she thought they were explaining to him, and it was, like, the way she drew it can be lined up with the star pattern of Zeta Reticuli, which is where they're supposed to be from.
Yeah.
They found that was interesting, but... Mm-hmm. That's the thing, like Carl Sagan was like, no, you can kind of pick a lot of stars out. And
easy to overlap these ideals. Mm-hmm. If it's what you're looking like, if you're looking for a Jesus in a tortilla, you're going to see
it. Yeah, true.
Type of thing.
True. Also, I stumbled upon a website called UFOGrayInfo.com, which is kind of controlled by this lady named Judy Carroll, who's written several books about aliens and UFOs and the grays and whatnot. And there's a lot of interesting info on this website. And she's got it kind of all broken down here. But one thing I found interesting, well, she talks about the eyes of the grays.
I don't trust her website.
Why not?
It just looks like a website that somebody made.
Yeah, it's not a very very high-tech website, but nonetheless. She thinks that, I don't know how she knows all this info, but talking about the eyes of the grays, she reads here, on a purely physical level, you can tell the age of a gray by their eye color. Just as human hair fades to gray or white as we age, so the eyes of the grays fade from black to dark blue to pale blue and then to white as they age. She says, I believe the eyes wear out, as do human teeth, but it's only the outer part that is affected. And this can be replaced, renewed if it occurs prematurely. So that's interesting that you could identify, you know, the age range of a gray or a zeta based on their eyes. She also talks about food. This is interesting. She says they take nourishment.
Yeah, what do they eat?
They take nourishment in the form of a paste from a tube, either through the mouth as we do or rubbed into the skin. Oh. Imagine if we could get nourishment. I'm just rubbing a meatloaf sandwich on my arm. Yeah, get in there.
Just covering myself in peanut butter. Starving.
She says they also drink liquid, often yellow in color. That's suspicious. From a vial. They don't have teeth, so they can't chew solid food. They don't eat meat. This is interesting, too. There's no waste matter in their digestive process, as the food they take in is highly refined, so no need for toilets. They don't poop. How's that possible?
I could see that being an advancement, like through evolution.
True. Where
you're only getting nutrients. You're only getting something your body's going to consume.
Yeah, it does its job and then evaporates
sweat it
or something.
Out or something. Yeah.
Yeah, if you think about it, poop is pretty unnecessary.
I still see them as like an evolved humans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially with the shape, the brain's bigger because some humans, maybe these are the humans that escaped. Once our generation's done, these are the ones that escaped to Mars and recolonized there and through the things that like the select few that got to recolonize Mars, like, oh, we're living on Mars. I guess anything is possible and start messing with their own evolution. I could see that going to a place. Oh, water. We don't have water. We don't have we need to figure out how to get nutrients in a different way.
Well, going back to your earlier question.
Time travel of them coming back.
Yeah. Of why still somewhat humanoid in the sense of, you know, two arms, two legs, one head, one mouth. Maybe they are.
It makes, yeah, it's evolved. Just evolved human beings.
Well, that is one theory that I did stumble across. Some people think that, are they future versions of humans?
That's where I keep going back to. I think that, especially if you even take the time travel element out of it. Think about, I keep going back to that New York Magazine article about how we're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that passage, I know I'm repeating myself, that there could have been species, like different types of human-like species that have evolved, you know, come to fruition, matured as much as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Moore's Law eliminates them where their progress, you know, their humanity does not catch up with their technological progress. And maybe there's a few cases where they beat it. They didn't eliminate themselves, you know, and that's what we're seeing here. Oh, they didn't let their progress burning fossil fuels take out their society.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a human, just like any other planet could have animals that, like dinosaurs existed on this earth and had to evolve into dinosaurs from something else, you know? whatever the evolution process, it didn't put a person
mm-hmm.
in that time.
Okay.
But then later on, eventually, whatever fish crawled out and fucked that thing and sat in the sun too long, whatever made a person there.
Yeah.
So on any other planet with a hospitable environment enough could evolve a human-like thing where, if you want to talk about reptilians, whereas we're mammals, whatever developed turned into a more reptile-type human creature as opposed to a mammal-human creature, which yeah. is the human beings.
Yeah.
There's several human-like species, whatever the genus is. How there's all kinds of different types of dogs. There's different types of humans out there.
Wow.
These are a few examples of them.
Uh-huh.
That's
interesting. We are to mammals what reptilians are to reptiles.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So how's that crazy?
That they control the government, I think.
Well, I mean that. But
they're secret, they control the government.
But just the fact that's a possibility of an evolutionary, you know, path.
Yeah. Well, everybody gets so high, like, oh, no, we're the smartest things. We're the top of the food chain. Maybe fucking not.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh, that's why I eat meat, because I'm the top of the food chain. Give me all your guns and all your weapons and all your clothes, and I'm going to drop you off in a forest. Now you tell me if you're the top of the food chain.
True.
No, you're the top of the food chain because somebody else invented fire. Somebody else invented gunpowder. Somebody else invented all this shit. You didn't invent it. You're reaping the benefits of your species, but you didn't come up with that shit.
Wow.
Somebody else is the top of the food chain who invented that shit. We're just using it.
Man, that's so true.
You put me on a boat with nothing by myself in the ocean, I'm fucking dead.
Yeah. You swim out in the ocean.
Yeah.
And tell me that you're at the top of the food chain.
Yeah, yeah. It's not, it's, no, you're just reaping the rewards of a lot of hard work.
Yeah. We're going back to the future version of humans. When we were talking months ago about when we did the time travel episode, that's the first time I had ever stumbled upon the concept or the theory that aliens may not be alien. They may just be future humans who now have access to intergalactic travel and whatnot. But, like, that's fascinating. Like, oh, that UFO, that alien? No, that's a human, but from 3,000 years in the future or whatever.
We're all just cousins.
Oh, man. That's so fascinating.
We're all just cousins out in the world.
So who knows, man? So, yeah.
Just an intergalactic family reunion.
But, yeah, so that's just kind of a general overview of the Greys and the Zetas. I think in future episodes we should delve into reptilians and Nordics and all the 80 other species. But this is – the Zetas and the Greys are kind of the most commonly experienced as far as abductions.
Gray shows up. Shows up out in front of the van.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how's it going, Dave?
Mm-hmm.
I'm an alien.
Mm-hmm.
You're the guy to come to. What's the one food you give him to rub into his skin?
I mean,
I have... What's one rubbable food?
That I have access to at the time? I don't have a lot of food in the van.
No, just on Earth.
Well, man,
you could drive him to a place.
Oh, man, I would love... He could rub a pork belly. Rub some smoked pork.
No, I mean, like, what's a rubbable food?
Oh, a rubbable, like a peanut butter or, you know, something like that.
I'm going to do liverwurst.
Liverwurst? Okay. Pimento cheese.
That's a rubbable cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go, buddy. Rub some of that on you.
I'm I'm playing host to an alien.
Yeah.
Let me show you my Los Angeles.
But here's your limit. It's got to be rubbable foods.
Okay.
It's got to be spreadable foods.
Liverwurst isn't bad. Pimento cheese. Even just some spicy brown mustard. Just, you know, get that in you.
Do you think it'd be the same as just eating mustard, though?
What do you mean the same?
This really should be on something.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know, because it's not passing through taste buds. You know, maybe they're just getting straight to the nutrients. Just absorbing nutrients.
Dave, you can be an alien, but you can't taste anything ever again.
Okay.
What, do you do it?
Ooh.
Aliens are like, Dave, you want to be on a spaceship now? You have your own room.
But I can't taste nothing ever again?
And never again.
Just rubbing paste into my skin for nourishment?
Yep.
I'll pass. Nah.
I want that story. That's you telling another van person. I could have gone with him, but no food anymore. Mm. I mean, I wouldn't go hungry, but nah. That's what I live for.
Nah. No thanks.
All right. Well, then, on that note, do you have a... you have a recipe for us sorry sack earthbound fuckers?
I do have a recipe.
Sorry, the old summertime fuck faces we're enjoying here.
Summertime fuck face. Oh, what'd you say? Sunshine fuck face?
Summertime fuck face.
Summertime fuck face. That's right. It works. Three, the summer,
3 parts tequila, 1 part grapefruit soda.
And the summertime fuck face does work. It's pretty good. It's a good drink. Okay, I think I texted you at like 2 a.m. about a week ago. Mm-hmm. About $1 million idea I had called watermelon pie. Do you remember? Remember we talked about that? My idea, it just came to me. I wanted to make a watermelon pie that
text that you spit on somebody's car.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. By the way, yeah. Let me talk about that real quick. All right, you could appreciate this as a sufferer of road rage. Hawk a loogie at your road rage perpetrator.
You got it?
It's a word I'm thinking of. Anyway,
yeah.
This guy did some real stupid shit the other day right in front of me and hawked a loogie, boom, right on his passenger side window. Gotcha.
Did he see it?
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Hang on to that, buddy.
What did he do? What was
he didn't do anything.
Driving wise, I mean.
Oh, he cut me off. Like, I'm in the center lane. The lane to my left is a left turn lane. He's in the right lane. He cuts me off to get into – he cuts over 2 lanes. And by doing that, and he was stuck at a red light, it made me stop and miss my green light. So I'm just okay. – I'm stopped because this idiot wanted to change 2 lanes in one move. And so when I finally got around him and my light turned green again, right when I got parallel to him, I just hawked a loogie, boom, right on his passenger window. And he saw it and I just – ha ha.
Deal with it, pal.
That could be a good weapon. In your daily road rage.
I've done it.
Yeah. I love hawking a good loogie. Now my loogies, I'm hawking loogies for good.
Well.
Anyway.
Transition into a recipe.
Yeah. Transition back into watermelon pie. Had this idea for watermelon pie, basically a key lime pie.
Yeah.
But replace the key lime with watermelon. And I still got some work to do with that. As far as making it, the same consistency.
That was
consistency.
My question. What, like?
Well, I thought about a pureeing a watermelon and incorporating that into like the sweetened condensed milk and the sugar and all that. But anyway, I stumbled upon some actual watermelon pie recipes, and I made one the other day.
Oh, you did?
And I tweaked it a little bit, but I found one on Pinterest, but I've tweaked it to kind of my liking. So this is kind of where I'm at now. What a wonderful concept, especially at summertime.
I was going to say, nice end of the summertime. Oh, yeah. I only had a picture of it right now.
Yeah, it's hot, and I love watermelon in general. So anyway, get you – we won't go – if you want to make your own pie crust, you can do that for the sake of simplicity. Get you 2 prepared pie crusts, you know, just the shit you buy at the store. Do graham cracker. You can do vanilla wafer, whatever you want. But let's start with take about a half of a watermelon and puree that thing in a blender until we get about 5 cups of pureed watermelon juice. And then depending on the size of the watermelon, it should be about a half a watermelon. So you take your get you some watermelon juice pureed in a blender. 4 envelopes of unflavored gelatin. Mm-hmm. Those are about the 0.25-ounce packets. So 4 of those would get you right at 1 ounce total. Get you a lemon, what for zesting and juicing. Half a cup of sugar, half a cup of heavy cream. Those simple ingredients, all right? So separate 2 cups of the watermelon juice into a microwave-safe container. And you got about 5 cups. Mm-hmm. Take 2 cups, put it in a bowl, and then add all the gelatin packets into that bowl of the 2 cups of the watermelon juice. All right, let that sit for about 2 or 3 minutes. That way, they can kind of absorb and mix together.
Just drink watermelon juice, or is it too sweet?
No, you can drink. Of course, you can drink watermelon juice.
Rub that on a name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in a mixing bowl, combine the remaining 3 cups of watermelon juice with the lemon zest. Take that lemon and zest it. You know, with a cheese grater, but like the real small. You just get the small holes. Zest that in there. So We got two cups separated with the gelatin. We got three more cups of the watermelon juice with the zest, and then squeeze all the lemon out of that one, all the juice out of that one lemon. So you got the lemon zest, the lemon juice, and then add your sugar and your cream. All right, in that bowl, you're going to whisk that sugar till it's completely dissolved. All right, then you place the gelatin, the other stash, the gelatin and juice mixture. Put that in the microwave. Heat it for about 2 minutes on high. Well, do 1 minute, stop it, and then take it out and stir it to make sure that all that gelatin has dissolved correctly, and then put it back in for another minute. Then once that's done, slowly whisk the warm gelatin mix into the other mixture. And it's confusing, but you got your...
Yeah, I'm pretty lost.
You got 2 cups of watermelon juice with the gelatin, you got 3 cups with the lemon juice and the lemon zest.
This is like right? 1, 2, 3 Jell-O.
Yeah. So you just... And then at the end, you combine all that together... Pour it into the 2 pie crust, refrigerate it for several hours, maybe overnight, whatever you got to do, and make sure it's good and cold. And then you just, boom, you're ready to go. Once it's refrigerated overnight, it's going to set. It's going to become gelatinous. And you can add some whipped cream. You can add some homemade whipped. We've talked about homemade whipped cream, which is just vanilla, powdered sugar, and what's the other thing just off the top of my head? Oh, heavy cream. Yeah, heavy cream, powdered sugar, and vanilla. But anyway, you could do you know, the store-bought whipped cream. You can do a Cool Whip, whatever you want. But yeah, there you go. Just to recap real quick, 2 pie crust, 5 cups of watermelon juice. Basically, you pureed half a watermelon. 4 envelopes of unflavored gelatin. 1 lemon for zesting, 1 lemon for juicing, same lemon, but you're going to juice it and then zest it. 1/2 cup of sugar, 1/2 cup of heavy cream, and you got you a nice, cool watermelon pie. Ooh, that was an interesting face.
I smell real bad.
Did you burp into your own face?
Yeah, it didn't go well.
So watermelon pie, there you go.
Watermelon pie, I like it. Is it going to be like 1, 2, you remember 1, 2, 3 Jell-O?
I don't.
Like the bottom was Jell-O, but then there was like creamy, foamy, bubbly Jell-O was another layer, and then there was another layer that was like light foam.
Did you buy it like that, or was that something you had to make?
You make it, and then it would settle that way.
Oh, I don't know that at all.
It would settle in different sediments.
Interesting.
But looking at this, it seems like it's the 2 part of the 1, 2, 3 Jell-O.
Yeah, could be.
Which I would enjoy very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially since one of the main ingredients is Jell-O.
Yeah. It's a Jell-O watermelon pie, basically, is what this is.
Ever see Jell-O with vegetables in it?
No. Vegetables. I've seen it with, like, grapes and whatnot.
See,
bananas.
No, my grandmother put, like, celery in it once.
No.
I think she's just old.
What flavor of Jell-O?
I don't know. Like, lime or whatever.
Just even in this recipe, unflavored gelatin. What if you just ate a bowl of unflavored Jell-O? Yeah, by the way, this is going to turn to people. You know what Jell-O's made from?
Horse hooves.
Yep.
That's why I was like, when we'd go to the horse track, I always root on. I pick Jell-O. I pick Jell-O and glue for coming in.
That'd be funny. I wonder if anybody's named their horse, like, you know.
Yeah.
They always have silly Jell-O names.
Jell-O and glue. Well, that's making, because last time I went to Jell-O the horse track, 2 of the horses died.
Yeah.
So I'm not going back to the horse track.
Mm-hmm.
But I like other names are always like something so like, this is God's special angel. And it breaks both its legs and they shoot it in front of you like, God's special angel is halfway in a meat grinder.
That's terrible.
Those old glue hooves. Well, yeah, no, I guess don't support. We were there, and it was like Rachel's friend was there, and she's like, well, I don't really want to go to the horse track. They're not really that good to the horses. I'm like, yeah, it'll be fine. We've gone once before, and we're there, and the friend who is sensitive to animals just watched 2 horses break their legs and die. Like, I think you were right on this. I don't know. I don't think I can come back to this. I don't know. I don't know about. I don't think I agree with this.
Mm.
I'm gonna watch. Yeah, I think I want to watch Fire in the Sky. I want to watch that. Is that was that Grey's or is that?
I don't know which one that was. That was old Bill Paxton, wasn't it?
No. What was his name?
He wasn't in
D.B. Sweeney.
Hmm. Bill Paxton wasn't in Fire in the Sky.
No.
Oh, I'm just making
guys that look like him. D.B. Sweeney, Peter Berg.
Interesting.
Well,
real quick, throw a thank you out to Kyle McNulty and John Brown. They made us another badass Boogie Monster Comics.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that? Very cool. I think that's the third one they've done for us. I just pulled it out of my ass on one episode months ago when you mentioned Montango Devil Possum. And then they wrote a comic about the Montego Double Possum.
That's good art, too. Mm-hmm. Makes us look real cool.
Yeah, it does make us look cool. Makes me look a little thinner than I am.
Yeah.
A little more broad in the shoulder, narrow on the hip. Everybody knows you don't take no lip. Big bad Dave.
Worry about your hip today.
Comic of the week. Comic of the week. Big fan of this lady, Carmen Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
Carmen Lynch, funny as hell. She probably doesn't remember this. We spent New Year's Eve together, not just the two of us, in a group setting, about, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, hanging out at a buddy's house. She was working in Atlanta, mm-hmm. back when I lived there, and on New Year's Eve, and we hung out and just drank a bunch of cold beers at a buddy's house. Mm-hmm. Carmen Lynch got a great album called Dance Like You Need the Money. Very funny, and actually going to be in Edinburgh.
She's in Edinburgh right now. If yeah. Coming out of the age, she's in Edinburgh right now, so go see her over there. Otherwise, mm-hmm. She's done a lot of late-night spots.
Yeah, she's done
a lot of tonight shows.
Several late-night spots. I think she's going to be in Edinburgh performing basically every night from now till the 26th of August. Yeah. So if you happen to be in Scotland, go check out Carmen Lynch. If you're not, she tours all the time. And, check out her stuff on YouTube. I think she just did a short film with Chloe Sevigny.
Ooh.
Who I've always been a big fan of.
Her work from Bloodline.
Kids was the first exposure to her.
Yeah.
Won't mention about, Brown Bunny? That was...
She beached Vincent Gallo.
But, yeah, she got a short film with Chloe Sevigny.
Beaching in the Gallows.
Bunch of stuff on YouTube, and check out her album, Dance Like You Need the Money. Carmen Lynch, spelled like it sounds, Comic of the Week.
Hell yeah, man. We explored some ideas about aliens.
Yeah.
Watermelon pie. That's a rubbable dish.
Yeah. Just rub that all over your weird little dolphin alien skin.
Yeah. Have a sexy time.
Mm-hmm. Stick that in your weird little slit of a mouth.
All right. Well, Godspeed.
Anything to plug? Wait. Where are you at right now? Are you back?
I'm back.
August 8th, you're back?
Yeah, I'm just going to be hanging around.
All right. Yeah, I'm just going to be hanging around too.
Oh, yeah, that Patreon's been out for...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we forgot to plug that. Plug the Patreon. Patreon.com/boogiemonster. Patreon is Patreon. Patreon.com/boogiemonster. $4 a month. You get an extra Q&A episode every month and an extra cooking video. And I've decided what the first one's going to be.
You want to tease them? You want to let them find out?
Should I tease them? I think you should tease them.
Is it rubbable foods?
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
I'm going to teach you how to make my badass chili.
Ooh, don't say anything else. I've had that chili. It's amazing.
It's awesome.
And there's weird shit in it.
Weird shit in it.
That's a good video.
Deep, deep umami flavor. You can rub it on your alien skin. That's going to be the first video.
It is a rubbable food.
So $4 a month, patreon.com/boogiemonster. Get you one Q&A episode extra every month that you can't just hear, you know, free of charge. And then I'm going to do one cooking video every month. So there you go. So, hook it up.
All right.
All right. Holla at you, boys.
The Boogie Monster.